no te han hecho tanta curación.
Righteousness that we wear tonight, Lord, and the robes, Lord, of your righteousness.
not of any good works of ourselves, but because of your grace and mercy.
Jesus.
And Lord, I pray tonight again for a pastor as he come.
Yes.
And open thy word, I pray you'll help him to preach Jesus Christ,
yes,
and crucify
yes.
him. We do thank thee again, Lord, for that precious blood, man. We pray you'll cover each one of us with your blood. We do thank thee again for that sacrifice of Calvary.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Can you sing the hymn, Revive Thy Work, O Lord? Wonder song they prayer.
About redemption by blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And God bless all those that's listening in. And we do want to remember in prayer tonight all those that need prayer, my dad and any others that need prayer this evening, that God will indeed touch them. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. While we bow our heads this evening, if you have a request, just lift your hand to the Lord. While every head's bowed, praise God. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. And any listening in tonight, you believe as well when we pray, and God can do it for you too. Heavenly Father, we do humbly bow before you tonight in the name that thou hast set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to lift that name as high as we can. For you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We thank thee for these words we've read, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You're the sinless, the blameless, the perfect Lamb of God. And we worship you tonight with all of our hearts. And we say we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Father, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. And I do take the Holy Ghost by faith to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the hands raised, you know every need. I ask you, Lord, you'll meet every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for my dad tonight and any others, Lord, watching or listening in that need a miracle touch from heaven. Lord, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Father, this evening, touch my dad, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, touch any others that need thy touch this evening. You are indeed a God of miracles. You're a supernatural God with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority, and we praise you this evening. Pray for the nurses and all the doctors, especially at this time. Lord, that you'll keep them safe, that you'll watch over them and over their homes and over their families. In the name of Jesus Christ, pray for all in this room and all that's near and dear to us. Cover them with your precious blood. Father, keep us safe from the pestilence by day and the arrow by night, in accordance with your promise of your own word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. The facts of the blood are clear in the Word of God. And I want to talk about three things tonight, but I want to mention six things before I go into this message tonight about the blood of Jesus Christ. We have reconciliation through the blood. We have cleansing through the blood. We have sanctification through the blood. We have victory over Satan through the blood. We have union with God through the blood. And we have life through the blood. All through the blood of Jesus Christ. Here are six separate blessings. But all these six blessings can be summed up in this one wonderful word. Redemption by blood. We must understand these blessings that have the full power of redemption. And there is power in redemption. Redemption means to be bought back. And all of us know, we heard this morning, Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, every one of us are born sinners by nature. And we're sinners by birth because of one man's sin.
One man's sin brought universal condemnation. One man's sin brought universal separation. And therefore we needed redemption. But we can be redeemed, and we are redeemed, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. First, where does the power lie of this blood? Second, what has the power accomplished? And third, how can we experience its effects? So you can know where the power lies, you can know what it has accomplished, and then you can experience the effects of its power. Knowing where it lies, knowing what's accomplished, and then experiencing it for your own self, the power of the blood. Leviticus 17 verse 11 tells us, and first of all we're thinking of where does the power of the blood lie. And Leviticus 17, if you want to turn to it, and I'm going to read tonight from the Bible rather than the laptop. I want to just slow myself down a bit because sometimes maybe I go too fast. But Leviticus 17 verse 11, and this is a wonderful scripture. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. So there had to be an atonement made, and the only thing that can make atonement for man is the blood. And we know that God in the beginning set the principle. God did. A lot of people say Abel did. No, Abel wasn't the first one. God was. Because we know when God came searching Adam and Eve after the fall, and they hid themselves from God, and he says, they said, because we're naked. And God said, who told you you're naked? And, you know, Adam said the woman, and the woman said the serpent, and the one blamed the other. You know the story. But the point is that God sacrificed an animal and he made them aprons to cover their nakedness. So God was the first one in Genesis to do a sacrifice. And blood had to be shed so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. And therein is a type that you could preach a whole sermon on. There's no clothing without the blood. It is actually the blood that clothes us. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Is greater than just an animal. Superior than an animal. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the value of the blood corresponds to the value of the life that is in it. So how important is an animal life, and then how important is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? The life of the animal, the blood shed, the animal dies, and there's no soul in that animal that can come back on anybody. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Holy Spirit raised him. The Holy Spirit moved him. God raised him from the dead. And the life of the blood of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can come back on the believer. Because there's a life in that blood that's still living. That can come back on you and me. Go to Leviticus 14. When you go back to Leviticus 14. And verse 13, or sorry, Leviticus 4. Right back to Leviticus 4. Let's read verse 13. And 14 of Leviticus 4. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. So there had to be an offering made when they sinned. And that's all through the Bible we see this. It's only showing you what they had to do. There had to be the offering made. Look at verse 27. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and he be guilty, or if his sin which he have sinned come in his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for the sin which he hath sinned. So any person had to bring this offering before the Lord. If they'd sinned, there had to be a sacrifice made, because blood had to be shed. Because Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood is no remission. If there was no blood shed, sins could never be forgiven. And even in the Old Testament, when they sinned, they had to present an animal, and notice it was a young kid or a lamb without blemish. Do you realize the people that owned these animals, if it had a bad leg or an infringement or an ailment, they couldn't offer it to God. God wouldn't accept it. It had to be the best they had. And God gave his best to me and you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The life of a man, we know, is more valuable than an animal. And I know there's people, and they talk about animal lives and animals' rights, and they have a point in some cases. It's not good to be cruel to animals. We would all agree with that. But an animal is not the same value as a human being, because a human being has a soul. A human being is made in the very image of God. An animal's not made in the image of God, but you and me are made in the image of God. We have a soul that's precious to God, that God wants to save. And therefore, we're going to be talking about a life tonight that's far superior than an ordinary lamb, or a kid, or a bullock, or a turtle dove, or a pigeon. And this is the life of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed on the cross, and his life was released at Calvary, so that that supernatural life could come back on you and me, so that the words could be fulfilled in Romans 8, and the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken or make alive also your mortal body. We're going to be raised. We heard this morning, why are we going to be raised? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood and he rose from the dead. Tomb's empty, and Christ is risen. If you go to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and it's just after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, then Romans, we're in Acts 20, and verse 28. Look what it says in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You have been bought, you have been paid for. If you purchase something, you pay for it, and we are redeemed with the blood of Jesus. We have been purchased, God owns us. God has paid for us. He bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are no longer our own. We are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. Now, if something belongs to you, let me pose this question. If something belongs to you, would you not love it? Would you not cherish it? Would you not do whatever you could for it? And the Bible says, as the husband loves the wife, so Christ loved the church. God loves you tonight, people. Brother and sister, the Lord loves you. And the love the Lord loves you with, the brother mentioned this morning, it's greater than our love. It never diminishes, it never adds to or changes. It's continually and eternally the same. It was an attribute in God from the very beginning that he would have that love and give us and show us that wonderful love. It can increase, because it never diminishes from the very start. God is love. Praise his lovely name. Now, it is God's own blood that redeems us. Therefore, it is the most valuable and the most precious blood is the blood of God. Let me read you this quotation this evening, and I don't read many, but I want to read this evening. The ministry of Christ. Now notice back quickly, God the Father, a spirit, overshadow the little virgin and God the Father, the creator of all things, created a blood cell in the womb. The womb of the woman had brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus, God's tabernacle on earth. Amen. Then we are saved, not by sacks of blood, but we are saved by the creative blood, by God's own blood himself. In other words, no physical relationship took place when Jesus came to be. Let us say it like that. And I hope you adults know what I'm saying without me saying too much. This was a supernatural act of God. The Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Supernaturally. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. And therefore the blood of Jesus is the blood of his Father. And we know his Father is Almighty God. So therefore the blood in the veins of Jesus is God's blood. It's the most powerful. It's not Jewish blood. It's not Gentile blood. It is literally the very blood of God. Therefore it's powerful blood. Praise God. God's own blood itself. He was the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. There's why I have faith in salvation and in divine healing, because it was God's own blood that was poured out through his Son's veins on Calvary's cross. That's why we can stand in the face of opposition and say it's right. You know where you're standing if you get back to the basic facts to find out what it was. We are saved through the blood of God. There's no mention there about not eating blood. Sure there's not. See, some people claim they're preaching certain things, but they're not. You cannot divorce the blood from your Bible. And you cannot divorce the blood from your message, or you have no Bible or no message. This is a bloodstained book. We are bloodstained people. The blood runs from Genesis to Revelation, a line, a scarlet line through the whole Bible. Even Rahab the harlot, even the thread she put out through the window was a type of the blood. That's how clear it was. And I tell you, when I see the blood, he says, I'll pass over you. Romans 6 and 23. So if you've got Acts, just go straight to Romans after the book of Acts. So it's Acts, then it's Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now no sacrificial lamb or bully could give us eternal life. It only covered sin. It did not give the believer eternal life. It can't do it. It covered sin for the season. They were under a law. They were following the law. But you know, when you read, when that which is perfect has come, Jesus definitely was the perfect one, wasn't he? Amen. And you know, when you start into the book of Hebrews, I love how it starts. In sundry times and in divers manners, God spake in times past. Now that means in parts and parcels. God in wee bits spoke in the past through his prophets. But here's what it says. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, this is the real thing. This is the word from God by his Son, Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus because it is God's own blood. It's precious blood. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ laid on the altar of Calvary, God is satisfied and our sins can be forgiven and forgotten. The one thing God can't do here today is remember your sin. Now you, somebody that knows you could point, say, well, I remember you done this, you done that, that's well and good, but God cannot remember your sin. Because the Bible says that our sins are washed away in the sea of forgetfulness. And we, when we stand before God, we will never give an answer for the sins of our past because they are gone and they are dealt with. But my friend, if you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, you will have to give an account for your sins before a holy God. And if your sins are not forgiven, you will be condemned and banished to the lake of fire, which is the second death. It's a sad thing, but it's true. I'm glad tonight that I have confessed my sins to the greatest priest that ever lived. the priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest of all high priests, the prophet, priest, and king. And Paul calls him the chiefest of all apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. It's him we want to talk about. Christ's blood was infinite in value and power. Therefore, the atoning virtue of his blood is infinite also. This idea that people preach and say his blood congealed, his blood dried up, it withered away, it's no more, it's just a chemistry. They do their best to do away with the effects on the efficacy of the blood. Now, I'm working the opposite road to that. I want to tell you that blood that speaks has never dried up, it's never congealed. And the Bible tells me that his blood still speaks better things than that of Abel's. And Abel's blood was fit to speak to God, and God could hear it, and God could answer it. We read that in Hebrews, and we read it also in Genesis, that the blood of Abel spoke. How much more does the blood of Jesus speak better things? His blood speaks. Now, blood that's lost and congealed and dried up can't speak. Christ's blood paid the penalty for sin by his shedding his blood. He fulfilled the law, and God is satisfied and glorified. In the blood of Christ, there is power possessed like no other power. There's nothing can cleanse your sin. The Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit will cleanse your sin. How many? Hear me this evening. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's not one scripture that says the Holy Spirit will cleanse your sin. Not a scripture. And I've heard preachers, and they preach so much about the blood, and they belittle it, and they talk about the life of the blood and the Holy Spirit, as if the chemistry thrown out, we don't need it today. That's what they claim. But nowhere does it say the Holy Spirit cleanses from sin. Not a scripture, if you find what I want to say. I know you can be justified by the Spirit, I'm talking about that. The Bible talks about the blood of Jesus cleanses from sin. We need the blood. And we need to preach the blood. And how can a man or woman be saved that's never come through the blood of Christ? And you cannot have a Pentecost until you have a Calvary. And Pentecost was not before Calvary. Jesus went to Calvary. Then the promise of the Father came. After Calvary. And the Spirit answers to the blood. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you want the Spirit to move on, you get the blood first. Amen. The Spirit answers to the blood. I tell you, it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, that washes us, that makes us whole, that makes us pure. It's the blood of Jesus preached to the drunkard that'll change him, a prostitute that'll wash her and make her a real lady. That's the blood of Jesus has the power to do that. Amen. Nothing else can do it. Religion can't do it. Churchiosity can't do it. Lots can't do it, but the blood of Jesus can. And it's still available today. And this business of a limited, there's a limited amount of the blood. Never ever believe that. Never accept that the blood of Jesus could save 1,000 worlds if they were there to be saved. We heard this morning, provision is made for the all. For the whole world. Number two, what has the power accomplished? The blood opened the graves. That's what it's accomplished. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now go way back again. It's near in the back of your Bible. Hebrews 13. There's only 13 chapters in Hebrews, so it's the last one. Go back, James. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant. Through the blood of an everlasting covenant. So God, that great spirit that brought again from the dead to the Lord Jesus through the blood of an everlasting covenant, the blood opened the graves. God never left Jesus in the grave. How many knows on the third day God raised Jesus? That's what gives us the power to preach. If Jesus never raised, we'd have no message. That's why real Christianity is superior to Buddhism or Mohammedism or any other ism. Buddha and Mohammed are in the grave and they're still in it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the grave. The grave could not hold him because of the power of the blood, praise God. And through the eternal spirit, he offered himself up once for all. God raised him from the dead on the third day. Aren't you glad God raised him? Praise God. You go to Matthew, and everyone knows Matthew, chapter 27, verse 52. Matthew 27, verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Not only did God raise Jesus from the dead, but those Old Testament saints that were held in a realm called Abraham's bosom, they died, they're in a special prepared place called Abraham's bosom. They could not come out of it till the blood of Jesus was shed. Because the animal sacrifices had no strength to bring them out. It only covered sin, but Jesus' blood dealt with it. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but those Old Testament saints rose and they saw him in the streets and the cities. There was a resurrection took place. And you think of it, there's going to be another one. Jesus Christ is coming again for you and me. John 14 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend, come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those in the grave. Those that saved us in the grave. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, thrust up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll depart no more from him. We'll be with him. Isn't that wonderful? That's the hope of the real Christian tonight. Amen. And this meaning, I want to say we believe there's going to be a catching up. A catching away. We believe that as part of our doctrine. We believe in the rapture or the catching up, call it whatever words you want. It's more or less the same thing, but it's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. And we know signs are around us everywhere for the coming of the Lord. Through the virtue of the blood, Christ was raised up. Remember, the life is in the blood. And the Greek word is Zoe, which is God's own life, was in Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. That is that life. And when that blood cell broke at the cross, the life of God was released. So you and me can have that supernatural power in us because that life's released. But you must first come by the blood. You can't jump past it. It doesn't work. You come first by the blood. The Spirit answers to the blood. Amen. Now, do you remember, if we wanted to go back to Romans, and Romans 8, verse 11, and I know I quoted it a lot, Romans 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, mark it in your Bible, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, and that word means make alive, your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, a great statement by a great preacher says, divine awakening must first have divine infilling. And I tell you, God has to awaken us and fill us. Amen. And when God's people are awakened with the gospel and washed in the blood, then they can have divine infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you say, brother, when I get saved, did the Spirit come to me and had to? Because you can't be saved without it. The Spirit of God moves you to get saved. Never let nobody tell you that you're saved and the Spirit of God's never moved in you. That's not true. The Spirit of God moved you to get saved. You could not get saved if the Spirit of God never moved you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And no man knoweth me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. So the fact that you're saved, the Spirit of God's already moved you. Now the baptism's something different, but you're on the right track. You're on the right way till it if you keep on going on. Amen? And I tell you, God's Spirit's already moved you, spoke to you. And you came. And you accepted the Lord. And you washed in the blood by faith. In the precious blood of Jesus. And the life of that blood can fill you. And baptize you. And empower you. And make you a real overcomer. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the blood. Jesus took the sting out of death by the plundering hell, that he might populate heaven. And I've used this statement for years, and the man I got it from was Reinhard Bonnke. This was one of his favorite statements. Jesus plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Not like that old false prophet over in America, Copeland. The false prophet, and I've named him tonight, and I'm not ashamed of it. He's fake. If you have any tapes belonging to him, burn them. For he's a false prophet. He said that Jesus had to go to hell to get saved. That's what he preached. And they're having a big meeting at the moment. And don't get me started tonight on all what they're doing. The ecumenical movements running rampant are all coming together. But you cannot come together except there's a birth. There has to be a born again experience or you're not brothers. You're only brothers and sisters when you're really born again and regenerated by the Spirit of God. And God never brings you out to take you back in. He says, come out from amongst them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not and handle not the unclean thing. And I preached some of these Wednesdays. I've showed you that the Bible predicted false teachers coming in the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And they're here today. I tell you, the world's full of these false preachers. Imagine telling anybody Jesus had to go to hell and get born again himself before you and me. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus had no sin. Here it is. Listen to this carefully. Write this down so that you never forget this statement. This is a true statement. Now listen to me. Death had no claim on Jesus. Number one. Death had no claim on him. Death had a claim on you. Death had a claim on me because we were born sinners. But Jesus Christ, because of the virgin birth, what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before, a virgin shall conceive. He had no sin. He came into this world sinless. He was actually God manifest in the flesh. Not our God, but the God himself manifested in the flesh. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. That's why the Bible calls him in Isaiah 9 verse 6 of Daniel. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God. That's him. That's why he never had to die for his own self. The high priest in the Old Testament could not offer for the people until he first offered for himself because he was a sinner. Jesus never had to offer for himself. The offering Jesus made was for you and for me. He willingly stepped into that. He challenged it and he took it on and he conquered it and he defeated it and he rose on the third day triumphant over it. So Copeland's a liar. And a real dirty one at that. Coming in slick. That's the same boys round about America blowing over COVID-19. Well, it hasn't worked too well. Still about, isn't it? Telling everybody to blow it away. What rubbish. Who's he think he is? Moses. Yet below, when a real prophet of God was on the scene, he never believed it. He denied it. That's the world we're in today. The fake they'll have quicker than the real. And then you have all these boys on today, these modern tele-evangelists. And it's all about me and you. I've enough, you're enough, and all this sissy talk and dressing up to look like the world. I want to tell you the disciples were real men. The Bible says they were sons of thunder. And they took knowledge that being to Jesus. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria, didn't go into the city of Samaria and say, I'm enough, you're enough, and talk like a sissy. Philip went down into the city of Samaria and the Bible says he preached Jesus unto them. And the devils cried out and come out of them. Hallelujah. That's the gospel of Christ. And you know the word of God warns every preacher. Woe is me. Woe is me. If If I preach not Jesus Christ, woe is me. My friend, my brothers, my sisters, we must preach the Lord Jesus. We're not called to preach another, but only the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, death has no claim on him. He took on death. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And over in Revelation, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is our victor. We are saved because of the power of his blood. And the power of the blood of Jesus has opened the graves, and it's going to open them again. Not only did it open the graves, it opened the whole way to heaven. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. 1 Corinthians. And I don't want to forget the time. At 5:30, I'm stopping. I'm not sure what time, but I'll stop at half. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Let me read on a few more verses. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. We're not going to heaven the way we are now. God's going to change us. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. God is going to change us. You're going to get changed coming out of them graves. You're not going to go to heaven the way you were born of your mother, and I'm telling you, you're not. If you think you are, you're not reading the Bible, you're getting a new body. You're going to be changed. God is going to change your body. When God changes your body, and then have no more gray hairs, no more wrinkles, I won't be needing these glasses or bald head, none of that stuff, all that's gone. We will be absolutely like Jesus. The Bible says that. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. We will be changed. Death will be done away with. I tell you, it's wonderful what's ahead for the Christian. Now, the unbeliever is a different story. I tell you, it's a different story if you're not under the blood. You need to get under the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Not only does Christ's blood open the graves, but it opens heaven. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 12. Praise God. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now you say that doesn't prove it, but another scripture says, not made with hands. So the place he entered into wasn't the tabernacle down on the earth, because it was made with hands, but he entered in somewhere that wasn't made with hands. With his own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal. If you have eternal life, you can't die. And God gives you eternal life when you receive a son, Jesus. Look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh. Now you know why that's in there? Because it couldn't clear the conscience. The old sacrifice could never clear the conscience. It didn't have the power to do it. But the blood of Jesus can clear the conscience. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered up himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament. It's greater than the old. That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressor that were under the first testament, they receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For the testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise it doth no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. He sprinkled them with the blood. He had to dedicate that Old Testament with the blood. Verse 20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven. Watch this now. The pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. Jesus' blood went the whole way to heaven. Amen. I had a smart aleck one time. I was preaching in Africa, and he said to me that flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. I said, I know that, but Jesus did. And he said, that's a contradiction. I said, it's not. He said, how can you explain to me it's not a contradiction? I said, that's the easiest question I've had in years. He said, well, tell me it. I says, all other flesh and blood's corrupted, but Christ wasn't. So it can go in. Amen. And I said, the Bible says it entered heaven. As the earthly things are sprinkled with these, so are the heavenly. What's better? The better is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read this on for a moment. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. Verse 24, which are the figures of the true. It's just a type. But into heaven itself, now shall appear in the presence of God for us. You say, how did he enter with his blood? Do you not believe Jesus is still blood in him? Now, I know he took his own blood, but I'm telling you, there was blood in him. And you know, now, I know this is why you have the theory and the big smart teachers, and they tell you there's no literal physical body in heaven. That's what they preach. Just a spirit. But I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe his blood's in him. And I believe he took his blood to heaven as well. And I believe that as he did on earth, he did it in heaven. So that we can enter. He's made the way for us with his own blood. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. Or if they could have, why did, why were they in Abraham's bosom then? Why were the Old Testament saints there? They could not come out of there till Jesus rose. Till the sacrifice was made that appeased God for all eternity. The once for all. Remember that phrase, the once for all sacrifice, Christ. Hallelujah. Heaven obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that in the Old Testament tabernacle, God manifests presence inside the veil. The high priest alone could enter there. But only with the blood could he enter. And if he tried to enter without blood, he'd drop dead. Not only would he drop dead, you know, if you read it and study it, they tied a rope on his ankles. How many knows that? Now when you look at the Old Testament and the high priest's garments, there's pomegranates and bells on the end of his garments. And those bells on the end of his garments, when they send him in with a rope, when they send him in, if there was anything amiss, if he'd done one thing different from the law, he'd drop dead. And there'd be no sound. And if there was no sound, he hadn't reached the place he should reach. But if he had, the bells would ring. And if the bells rang, they knew they didn't have to pull them out. He'd reached it. God had accepted him. He'd followed all the instructions. God accepted him. But if the bells never sounded, they pulled the rope out with a dead man on the end of it. But Jesus Christ entered heaven, and the bells of the mercy seat in heaven are ringing tonight loud and clear. There's a way made for every man and every woman. You can come by the way of the cross. Amen. And the precious blood of Jesus. You can come tonight. That was a picture of the old sin in the flesh which separates us from God. The eternal righteousness of God guarded the entrance to the most holy place so that no flesh may approach him. Now Christ appears in heaven for us, our high priest in heaven. He appears in heaven. Just like the earthly priest appeared here in the tabernacle, Jesus now appears in heaven for me and you tonight, and we may enter in boldly. Why? Because of the new and living way. We can enter boldly. Aren't you glad for the blood tonight? Because of the blood of Jesus being shed, because of redemption by blood, you can enter in boldly to the presence of a holy God. Do you realize if that wasn't the case, you could drop dead trying it? You would drop dead. Me or you would have nothing of our own we could offer God to appease God. We needed Jesus Christ. And his offering appeased God for me and you for all time and for all eternity. 5 minutes and I'm finished. Look with me to Hebrews 9. I have so many scriptures, probably too many, but anyhow. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19-25. Maybe I've read them. I've read them, for Christ has not entered, right? Praise God. Look at chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 23 and 24 of Hebrews, chapter 12. Verse 23 and 24. To the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, unto God the judge of all, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and through the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. So the blood of Jesus speaks for us far better than Abel's blood spoke. And remember, Cain slew Abel. And the voice of Abel's blood cried from the thorns. And remember, the thorns is the place of the curse. And they cried from the thorns to God for vengeance. And God answered to the blood. But 2,000 years ago on the cross, under the thorns of his brow, pouring down his forehead and his face, the blood of Jesus ran out from the thorns which represent the curse. And Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His blood is superior to Abel's, for it cried for mercy. Aren't you glad it cried for mercy? Both of them were shepherds. Both were shepherds, Abel and Christ. But Abel's life was took from him. He never died willingly. His life was took from him. He died against his own will. But Jesus Christ died a willing sacrifice because he loved us. He gave himself for us. And I'm going to miss a lot of things because I want to close. How does this power work? How does the power of the blood produce the mighty unhindered results in our lives? Through faith. And I'm closing in this thought. It works through faith. Go with me to Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Acts, Epistle to Romans. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So when you hear about the blood, when you hear about salvation, healing, all the wonderful things of the Bible, you are hearing it to give you faith. And your faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not a storybook, but the real word of God. And this is how this power works, by faith. By faith they had the dead raised. By faith they sojourned. By faith, by faith, by faith. Hebrews tells us of the great victories of faith. And we are saved by faith. The just shall live by faith. For by grace through faith are you saved, and not out of yourselves. It is faith. Put your faith in the precious blood of Jesus tonight. Put your trust and faith in the precious blood of Jesus, and you'll be saved. Put your faith in him. Like a little child, come believing. Come believing. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Oh, his blood will wash you today. Let us stand on our feet. My time's gone. I won't go on. Maybe a brother could sing that if he wants. That's where I heard of Brother Gary singing it, Come to the Savior, make no delay. Let us bow our heads tonight.
I know possibly everybody in this room is saved. But maybe if there's someone's not, that maybe you're small or young, you can be saved. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Maybe if you're listening in to this message tonight, the Lord can save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I want to give opportunity tonight for a man or woman that's listening in that wants to be saved. And I'm going to ask you to pray the sinner's prayer and come to Jesus. And you can be saved tonight. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer with me, those that want saved this evening. Heavenly Father, we call upon your name. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in this day. Wash me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgive me of every sin that I've ever committed. I accept you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I confess from my mouth that God has raised you from the dead. And I believe in you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray this evening that when the voice of the preacher is silent, the Holy Spirit will move on and speak on. Speak to that young man. Speak to that young woman. Oh God, deal with the hearts and the lives of men and women and save them and deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's a man or a woman listening in or watching in tonight that needs a miracle, Lord, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, that you'll touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy, that girl, and may they be made whole in Jesus Christ's name. Bless everyone in this room and bless everyone listening in as we plead the merits of the precious blood over our lives afresh. Father, will you keep us safe going home tonight? And during this week, keep us safe from all the wiles of the enemy as we plead the merits of your precious blood upon each and every one. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. Don't forget Wednesday night, 7:30, and maybe we'll have it live for the Bible part, because I know some people work, and I know Matthew starts work at 2 in the morning. That's an early shift, so some people can't get, but they want to get here, and so let's pray God will reach out and touch even more. The Lord bless each one.
Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but I came to save them.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, we thank you when you were walking up the road, Zacchaeus ran and he climbed up a sycamore tree, and you came to the bottom of that tree and you looked up and you called him down.
Yes.
You said, come down, Zacchaeus, for this day is salvation come to thy house.
Yes.
Lord, tonight is salvation we need.
Yes.
Lord, we know you're the only provider.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, you came into this world to go to the cross. And when you hung on that cross, you said it is finished. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Lord, signifying that the way back to the holy God was made possible.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless your name tonight that the sinner can pray.
Yes.
We bless your name tonight. You make of the rebel a priest and a king.
Amen.
Lord, we say, unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you're coming again. And we say again with the Spirit and with the bride, we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that everyone that will hear these words and has been fellowshipping with you tonight, Lord, around your word, that we'll be ready, that all shall be ready, and all shall be washed in the blood, and not only washed in the blood, but that same Spirit that raised you from the dead will be in them and through them for your honor and for your glory.
Yes,
we thank you, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
You are Jesus Christ the King.
Lord.
We say Hosanna to the Son of God. We say Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Yes.
Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men.
Lord,
we loose peace upon your people.
Yes.
We loose goodwill again upon your people.
Yes, Jesus.
We're loosing goodwill to them that will hear the gospel cry.
Lord, amen.
In Jesus' name. Lord, part us with your fear upon us, making us rich and adding no sorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well,